Welcome back, everyone. We're diving deep into the world of true prophets in the Bible today.
Always a fascinating topic.
It is, isn't it? You know, you shared that lecture by Dr. Marv Wilson on the prophets of the Hebrew Bible.
Yeah.
And it's packed with insights.
It is.
So we're going to explore what made these figures tick, why they weren't exactly applying for this job, and why being professional, quote unquote, was actually a red flag.
You know, it's fascinating how Dr. Wilson uses his own experience to kind of illustrate this. Mm. He talks about taking an aptitude test
right.
that suggested careers like forest ranger or YMCA director,
huh.
a far cry from biblical scholarship.
Yeah, a very different deep dive, I'd imagine.
That's right. A very different lecture, that's for sure.
Exactly.
But his point about the unexpected nature of prophetic calling, it really resonates, you know?
Yeah.
You don't choose this path, it chooses you.
That really sets the stage, doesn't it? It wasn't about pursuing a passion or playing to your strengths.
Right.
Dr. Wilson points to Moses, right? Encountering God through a burning bush.
Right.
I mean, what do you make of this idea of a divine summons? It's not exactly subtle.
It certainly challenges our modern ideas of career planning.
Right.
Dr. Wilson highlights that this call wasn't a suggestion.
Hmm.
It was an imperative.
Wow.
And it wasn't limited to a specific type of person either.
Right.
Think about Moses, raised in the Egyptian royal court, versus Amos, a simple shepherd.
Oh, yeah, total opposite ends of the spectrum.
Completely different backgrounds, but shared that undeniable call.
And that call led them to speak truth to power.
Yes.
Regardless of the consequences.
Absolutely.
I mean, Dr. Wilson quotes this, "No one dared stand before men and deliver a message unless one was absolutely sure one had stood before God."
Powerful.
We see this in figures like Elijah, right, who didn't hesitate to confront King Ahab about the coming drought.
Right.
Where do you think that kind of conviction comes from?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And the lecture then kind of moves into the source of that message, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Dr. Wilson distinguishes Israelite prophets from like the ecstatic prophets in other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of working themselves into a frenzy.
Right.
These individuals were aware of God's direct revelation as the origin of their knowledge.
And the Bible itself uses such powerful imagery to describe this experience.
It does.
You know, Jeremiah talks about God's word being like a fire shut up in my bones.
Mm-hmm.
There's this sense of being carried along by a force much greater than themselves.
Yes, and it challenges the idea that prophets were simply gifted individuals
right.
with like exceptional insight.
Just naturally brilliant, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Dr. Wilson cautions against this. He says, don't pursue a so-called Christian vocation someday if you're depending on native ability.
Hmm. That's powerful.
That resonates with
yeah.
me. It's a reminder that there's a deeper power at play.
Absolutely.
How do you see that distinction between human talent and divine inspiration laying out in our own lives?
It's a question worth pondering, isn't it? I mean, we often place so much emphasis on skill and achievement.
Yes.
But what about those moments when we feel guided or inspired in a way that defies explanation?
It's true.
Yeah.
Dr. Wilson then highlights a fascinating point of distinction between true and false prophets.
Okay.
He emphasizes that true prophets didn't rely on divination practices like sorcery or necromancy,
right.
which were prevalent in the ancient Near East.
So common back then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He
even connects it to something we see today.
He does.
A simple psychic reading sign, highlighting that timeless human desire to know the future.
It's interesting because the Bible specifically forbids these practices.
Really?
Dr. Wilson shares a list from Deuteronomy 18 child sacrifice, interpreting omens from bird formations or oil and water, even consulting the dead.
Wow.
Pretty intense stuff.
It really highlights how radical the Israelite faith was in that context. These prophets were surrounded by occult practices, but remained committed to receiving their knowledge directly from God.
Yes.
That raises a question for me. How do we, in a world saturated with information and influencers, discern genuine sources of truth and wisdom?
That's a crucial question, especially as we move into the next characteristic Dr. Wilson explores, the rejection of professionalism.
Okay, unpack that for us.
Yeah.
What's the distinction here?
He contrasts it with simply being professional.
Mm-hmm.
False prophets in the Bible were often employed by kings.
Oh, interesting.
Paid to deliver messages that pleased those in power.
I see.
Imagine being a prophet meant to speak truth to power, but also worried about your paycheck.
Oh, yeah, that's gonna create some problems.
That's a recipe for compromising your message.
So, in essence, it becomes about serving the one who pays you.
Yes.
Rather than serving a higher truth.
That's right.
That's a slippery slope.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dr. Wilson uses the story of Balaam and King Balak to illustrate this.
Okay.
Balaam attempted to bribe Balaam to curse the Israelites, offering him immense wealth.
Wow.
But Balaam famously replies, "I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of the Lord my God."
That's a bold declaration of integrity.
It is.
And it reminds me of Amos,
yeah,
who rejected the title of professional prophet altogether,
uh-huh,
stating, "I'm not a prophet. God called me from following the sheep."
He was focused on the message, not the label.
Right.
And Dr. Wilson makes this humorous comparison,
okay,
contrasting this with a wedding sovelist refusing to sing until paid, holding up the entire ceremony for that paycheck.
Oh, wow.
In a stark contrast to the prophets, whose motivation wasn't financial gain, but obedience to their calling.
What's fascinating here is the timeless relevance of this point.
Isn't it?
How do we navigate the tension between serving a higher purpose and getting caught up in the material aspects of a role?
Right.
It's a question we all face in different ways, isn't it?
It
really is. I mean, think about all the influencers and self-proclaimed experts we encounter today.
It's true.
It makes you wonder, how do we discern who's genuinely motivated by truth?
Right.
And who's just in it for the clicks, the followers, the cash?
Yeah.
It's almost like we need a modern-day guide to spotting false prophets.
Well, Dr. Wilson does provide some compelling criteria.
Okay.
It starts with that undeniable call we discussed, like
right,
Moses and the burning bush.
Yeah.
True prophets weren't pursuing a career. They were compelled by something much greater.
And that sense of compulsion was fueled by the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
It wasn't about their own brilliance or clever interpretations, but about being a conduit for a power beyond themselves.
Right.
How does that idea of surrendering to a higher power sit with you?
That's a powerful concept, isn't it?
Okay.
And it connects to that crucial distinction from the pagan practices of the time.
Okay.
True prophets didn't rely on sorcery, divination, or any form of occult manipulation.
Right, right.
They derived their knowledge directly from God, setting them apart from the spiritual trends of their era.
Which brings us back to that rejection of professionalism we were talking about.
Yes.
It wasn't about getting paid to preach a comfortable message.
Right.
It was about speaking truth to power, even when it was unpopular or inconvenient.
And that's a challenge that transcends time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Standing up for what you believe in, even when it comes at a personal cost.
Mm-hmm.
We see it throughout history.
We do.
People willing to risk everything for their convictions.
It's inspiring, but also a bit daunting.
It is.
It makes you wonder, how do we find that courage in our own lives?
Well, you know, Dr. Wilson acknowledges that the role of the prophet, in the biblical sense, is specific to that time.
Mm.
The canon of scripture is closed,
right,
meaning we don't expect new prophetic revelations in the same way.
So does that mean the idea of prophecy is irrelevant to us today?
Not at all. Dr. Wilson proposes that we can all have a prophetic ministry by living out the values the prophets embodied.
Okay.
It's not about predicting the future. It's about embodying justice, speaking truth to power, and relying on something beyond ourselves for guidance.
I like that. It takes the concept out of the realm of the mystical,
mm-hmm,
and makes it applicable to everyday life.
Exactly.
Whether you're in the pulpit or the boardroom, there's an opportunity to live prophetically within your own sphere of influence.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he reminds us that we each have a unique calling.
Okay.
A purpose for which God has equipped us.
Mm-hmm.
He encourages us to be intentional.
Yeah.
To listen to our hearts.
Okay.
And seek wise counsel as we navigate that path.
It's interesting because he emphasizes that there are no non-sacred occupations.
Yeah.
Whether you're a brain surgeon or a journalist or a teacher or a stay-at-home parent.
Right.
Every vocation can be an avenue for expressing your faith and making a difference.
That's right.
But here's the question that really stuck with me. How do we distinguish between our own desires and ambitions and that true sense of calling? How do we know if we're chasing something self-serving or something aligned with a higher purpose?
That's a question we all wrestle with, isn't it?
It is.
It's so easy to get swept up in the current, to chase after what society tells us is valuable or important.
Especially in a world saturated with information and influencers vying for our attention.
Right, right.
It's like we need a filter to help us sift through the noise and identify the voices that truly matter.
And that's where the example of the prophets can be so instructive. They teach us to be discerning,
yeah,
to question assumptions, and to be wary of those who prioritize personal gain over truth and justice.
Right.
They encourage us to look beyond the surface and seek out genuine sources of wisdom and guidance.
Okay, but in a practical sense, how do we do that?
Yeah.
It's easy to say be discerning, but how do we avoid falling prey to false prophets?
Right.
whether they're literal preachers or just misleading voices in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
What are the red flags?
Dr. Wilson doesn't offer a simple formula,
right?
But he does point to some key indicators.
Okay.
True prophets were marked by humility.
Okay.
Their reliance on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And their unwavering commitment to speaking truth, even when it was unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
Their motivation wasn't fame, fortune, or the approval of the powerful.
So we should be looking for those same qualities in anyone who claims to speak for God or offers guidance on how we should live our lives.
Exactly.
Humility, a reliance on something beyond themselves.
Yes.
And a willingness to challenge the status quo.
Precisely.
Okay.
And it's also about examining their motives.
Right.
Are they trying to control, manipulate, or profit from their followers? Or are they genuinely seeking to serve a higher purpose and guide others toward truth?
Mm-hmm.
These are the questions that can help us separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak.
It's a process, isn't it?
It is.
We can't just assume we've figured it out.
Right.
We have to be constantly evaluating and reevaluating the sources of information and influence in our lives.
Yes.
What resonated with us a year ago might not hold up under scrutiny today.
That's so true.
Yeah.
We can't afford to be passive consumers of information.
Right.
We need to be active listeners, yeah. Critical thinkers,
mm-hmm.
and discerning seekers of truth.
Okay. Yeah.
And we need to be humble enough to admit when we've been misled and courageous enough to course correct.
It's a challenge.
It is.
But it's a worthy one, right?
Absolutely.
Because the choices we make,
yes.
the voices we listen to,
mm-hmm.
and the paths we follow have a profound impact on our lives and the world around us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why the study of the prophets remains so relevant even today.
Mm.
It's not just ancient history. It's a timeless guide to navigating the complexities of faith, truth, and discernment in a world that's constantly trying to lead us astray.
As we kind of wrap up our deep dive into this world of true and false prophets, I keep coming back to this question. In our modern world, with all its noise and distractions, how do we cultivate that same spirit of discernment that the prophets embodied?
Yeah.
It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the sheer volume of information and opinions out there.
Absolutely.
What stood out to you from Dr. Wilson's lecture on this point?
I think Dr. Wilson would encourage us to start by looking inward.
Hmm.
He emphasizes that true prophets were deeply connected to God.
Okay.
They listened for his voice,
right.
sought his guidance,
mm-hmm.
and allowed his spirit to shape their understanding.
Yeah.
They weren't swayed by popular opinion or the allure of worldly success.
So it's not just about being smart or analytical.
No.
But about cultivating a deeper spiritual sensitivity.
Yes.
Almost a willingness to be led by something beyond our own limited perspectives.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's about testing what we hear against the truth revealed in Scripture.
Okay.
The prophets didn't just accept any message that sounded spiritual or appealing.
Right.
They measured it against God's word, his character, and his heart for justice and righteousness.
So we can't just blindly follow anyone who claims to have a prophetic word or special insight.
Right.
We need to be like the Bereans in the book of Acts.
Yes.
Examining the scriptures daily to see if what we're being told aligns with the truth.
And we need to be wary of those who use spiritual language to manipulate, control, or exploit others.
Oh, that's a good point.
True prophets weren't interested in building personal empires or amassing wealth and power.
Right.
They were driven by a selfless desire to serve God and speak his truth,
mm-hmm.
even when it cost them everything.
That's a good reminder.
Yeah.
It's so easy to be drawn in by charisma or those who promise quick fixes and easy answers.
Right.
True wisdom often requires patience, humility, and a willingness to wrestle with difficult questions.
And a willingness to be wrong.
Oh, yeah, good point.
The prophets didn't always get things right.
Right.
They were human, after all.
They were.
But they were open to correction, mm-hmm. to refining their understanding, to allowing God to shape and mold them.
It's encouraging to hear that discernment isn't about being perfect or having all the answers.
Right.
It's about being humble, teachable, and committed to seeking truth above all else.
It is a journey, not a destination.
That's good.
We'll never reach a point where we're immune to deception or manipulation, but right. By staying grounded in God's word, cultivating a sensitive spirit, and testing everything we hear, we can grow in discernment and wisdom.
So as we conclude this deep dive,
mm-hmm.
I'm left with a sense of hope.
Me too.
And a renewed commitment to seeking truth in all areas of my life.
Absolutely.
It's a challenge.
It is.
But it's one worth embracing.
It is.
And who knows, maybe in the process,
yeah,
we'll discover a bit of that prophetic spirit within ourselves.
Perhaps we already have.
Oh, that's good.
After all, the truest prophets are often the ones who live out their convictions with quiet courage, who speak up for what's right, who challenge injustice, and who point others toward truth and hope.
That's a beautiful thought to leave us with.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of true prophets.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration of knowledge and ideas.